Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I just got back from a riveting appointment with the powers that be. They were super upset with me because I forgot to bring the prezi, the ceremonial prezi. I forgot. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to do so.
Wow. How dare you?
I know.
I thought we were going to do a ritual sacrifice today, just like Thanksgiving.
I love a ritual sacrifice. That's for sure. I am starting to be like, Anya, I know you. I know you. We are cut from the same cloth, my friend.
Yeah, you very much are. You very much are. The lasagna shippers are so jazzed for this episode.
I like
you. Are you officially a lasagna shipper now?
Yeah. I think I'm. Good. Well, I'm still just mostly like pro Anya, but yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that I can join the club.
Yeah, I will say we're 8 episodes into season 4 of Buffy, and like, I don't think there's been more than 2 moments that Xander has made me roll my eyes. So he's on a real hot streak this season.
Xander has learned from his bad deeds in the past and said, mm-hmm. I'm ready. I think it's like he needed a modest humbling. And a lot of boys that are pretentious or annoying. I don't know. I
immature.
A lot of people just need a little bit of a humbling and then they come back to earth. And I think that's what he needed.
He just needed to grow up a little bit, I think. Yeah. And now he's had so many jobs now. Like, we're 8 episodes in and he's held like 4 different jobs, which probably isn't great. But
yeah, I don't think that's a good sign.
No, but I will say, 4 jobs is better than no jobs. So, like, he is trying to have gainful employment, seemingly. Yes. So, but yes, we're talking season 4, episode 8 of Buffy, called Pangs. A Thanksgiving episode, which will be a theme for this week on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, because our Felicity episode is also Thanksgiving themed.
Yes, happy very Thanksgiving exciting. To all and all a good night. I think that's what they say.
That's exactly what they say.
Yeah.
So let's get into it, because we have some stuff to dig into.
Dig.
Can we start there? Because we really need to talk about this. So we kind of start the episode off at it anyway, where there's like this excavation that's about to take place. Xander is on this like construction team. He has a shovel. Anya, Buffy, and Willow are like acting like this is a baseball game. They're like standing on the sidelines, just like watching.
It is a baseball game. Yeah.
Anya wants to see Xander dig, and she's really upset because they haven't been digging yet. And she's like, what even is the point? I came here to see those muscles be moving.
Yeah,
she wants to see him dig.
I really enjoyed this. I thought that it was really, I just love how the actress that plays Anya delivers literally every single one of her lines. Like, yeah. Every single thing that she says, I'm pretty much tickled by. And even more so. And it has been that way because, once again, it's just like, I mean, she's like a 200-year-old demon or however much that is getting human hormones for the first time. It's very funny. It's such a unique and interesting and funny character, and the way yeah. that this actress portrays her and the cadence of how she delivers her lines is just phenomenal. I really, really love Anya. And yeah, I love Anya's thirst to watch physical labor. It's delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very excited to see Anya because it's been a few episodes. And as we've stated previously, she should be in every episode, even though she's not on the main cast and blah, 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 blah. She's not in the opening credits. I don't care. I was excited to see her. And then she kept talking. And I was like, Anya, girl, like, do I need to spray you with a water bottle? Like, you need to calm down. It's just Xander.
No, I thought it was so freaking funny, too. Like, I think it's just like funny. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I would have such a good time with her just talking about sex and how, like, his muscles glisten. I would be like, tell me more. I just think it was so funny. I don't know. You didn't like it because you're never nude. So it's just like, you gotta, like, let go, you know?
I did appreciate that, like, everything Anya says, she says with 100% sincerity, mm-hmm. and she's very serious about it, even if she's hurting someone's feelings or even like talking like sexy talk to them. Like, everything is said with the same exact tone.
Has
I love that
Anya ever laughed or made a joke? Because I think the answer is no.
I think you might be right. I don't think she makes jokes. That's not her thing. You know,
no.
It's just not her thing. She's she knows like her strong
serious,
suit.
A serious girl. Yeah. Very serious, very sincere. She's not even like sarcastic. Like, she's just very literal. And this is like yeah. part of like how what I enjoy about her and mm-hmm. how she communicates. But yeah. And also I like how Buffy and Willow don't really shade her. For
no, it's more that they poke fun, right? Like when she says like, oh, I'm picturing Xander and I having sex again, and Buffy's like, wow, this like theoretical Xander's a real machine.
Yeah, like, they're not shaming her for it. It's more so
I don't know.
Like, I really know that like later in the episode they were like, ew, do we have to invite
I didn't like that from Willow because I personally felt like it's really tough when you're coming into a friend group like the Scoobies that have really tight bonds and you're a bit of the outsider, right? Like, you're the new girlfriend, which we'll talk about that label later. And it's really hard to be that person. I know she's a little weird and I know she's like a demon and all of that stuff, but like, just invite her to Thanksgiving. Like, she's not mean, you know what I mean? She's not snotty. She's not trying to steal Xander, like, which would be a plot of some other teen show, you know? Like, come on, Willow, like, be nice to Anya. She's at least she's entertaining to keep around, you know?
Yeah, I think like it's not a good look because if it's not like we don't welcome supernatural folk around and often.
Yes, half of you have dated supernatural people, you know? Yeah. Like, come on.
Exactly. Like, we didn't show prejudice against the werewolf, like,
or the vampire you dated.
Yeah. So that was a bad look by Willow, but Willow was like on one because everybody has a Thanksgiving complex. And now I understand this because I too have a huge Thanksgiving complex. I feel like that is where a lot of my emotions are emotioning, a la Buffy. So everyone's kind of in a mood this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Willow, you know, very ahead of the show was ahead of its time
yeah,
in terms of shaming Thanksgiving for basically being just like this colonialist holiday where we stole land from Native Americans. Like, we even in this episode, we get Buffy saying to Giles, like, we call them Native Americans now, like, learn our ways. And I was like, wow, look at you, Buffy. Look at you go.
Yeah.
And so Willow was like, we shouldn't even be celebrating this. But then, of course, you have Buffy, who really wants to throw Thanksgiving, understandably, because her dad lives in LA. Her mom is visiting her aunt. She's alone for the holiday. And like, you know, even if you're not, listen, if all you're taking away from Thanksgiving is time to be with your family and a day off of work, then do it. You know, like, it doesn't have to be celebrated for those very old, old problematic ways. You can make it your own. And when you're sitting in your dorm room hearing all these kids so excited to go home and like get a homemade meal and all this other stuff, and you're like, I have literally no family in town and I'm just going to sit by myself on a holiday. Like, yeah, throw a Thanksgiving. You don't even have to call it that. Just throw a dinner party with your friends. I was very much on Buffy's side of like, she should throw a little party.
Yeah, I feel like that is one of the greatest lessons to be learned in life, is that if you want something, don't wait for it to happen. Don't wait for
it.
Yeah, you got to make it happen. If Thanksgiving is important to you, but either you don't have anybody to celebrate it with, your family's away, or nobody is making the initiative, then you got to make it happen. So Buffy, I really liked Buffy like being really determined. And I like that she was like, you know what, I'm like feeling kind of sad about Thanksgiving this year, so I'm going to like turn it around and I'm going to invite my favorite people and we're going to celebrate together. I thought that that was really great. Nobody else really appreciated her efforts this episode, which was like a little sad. And of course, she was working like triple overtime to make this the most perfect Thanksgiving possible. So I understand that not everybody was as excited about Thanksgiving as her, but and also like she was trying to like replace like some of those like sad family feelings. Like, she's definitely, it's very sad to not be with your family on Thanksgiving. Have you ever spent a Thanksgiving away from your parents, Jessica? I don't think so.
I know I've like shared Thanksgivings where I've gone to multiple houses on one day, but I don't think I've ever not seen my family on Thanksgiving. And it, I will fully admit it would be very difficult for me. Like, I would really struggle. And I really like, I think Buffy's mindset is actually really healthy about this, because if you have, whether they're happy or sad memories of prior holidays, right? Like, maybe she's thinking of when she was a kid and her parents were still together and they actually enjoyed Thanksgiving. Or maybe she's thinking like the first year her parents were apart and it was really sad and really difficult. Either way, I think adding a new happy memory to the bank, it just is going to overwhelm the sad memories with happy memories and eventually shove those sad memories down deep, you know, like, or away. It's you're replacing those memories with happy things. And so I love Buffy's idea of let's get everyone together and let's just have a fun time. And I it's really tricky though, Sarah, because obviously in the midst of all this happening, like, there's a problem to solve as always. And so, like, you know, people like Willow, people like Giles, like, they're focused on something else. And Buffy is like focused on the peas. You know what I mean? Like, she's focused on making this dinner party successful. And, you know, rightfully so, she wants to like have a minute away from slaying. So it's fair enough. Unfortunately, the timing is bad, because around the same time Thanksgiving is happening, when Xander falls through the ground at his new job, they discover the old Sunnydale mission, which apparently was like, it all went underground in like 1812, and they find a bunch of things. And it turns out, basically, this entire episode, Sarah, is all about how much Americans suck, how they've taken the land and like decimated the I think it was the Chumash people, which are the Native Americans in this area. And this, the person that is like the supernatural quote unquote enemy, if you will, is One of those Native Americans named Hus, I think, H-U-S, Hus, Hus. And he is basically taking vengeance on everyone around him. And I really enjoyed getting the moral quandary that Willow and Buffy are in and kind of against Giles of like,
yeah,
we don't want to kill this man because of what our people have already done to his people. Like, we feel really bad that we, I don't want to hurt him. Is there any other possible way for us to resolve this?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Willow's stance is like pretty interesting because obviously she's Jewish. Her mother as well is like pretty anti-Thanksgiving. And I think that she thinks a lot about like the Holocaust when it comes to these like people getting removed from their homes, gang genocide. You know what I mean? Like, I think that like she thinks a lot about that. So Willow and her family stance on Thanksgiving is like Thanksgiving is bad. Also, I think that like her mother's she's like a definitely like an educated, I forget what she was, either a professor or a lawyer, something along those lines,
something in a very like professional field.
So the whole time Willow, especially Willow, is being very like, I will not fight against this Native American entity, whether he is an evil ghost or not, and is trying to kill all of us or not, and gave Xander syphilis or not. So, which is, I mean, like, it's an issue because the Native American ghost is literally killing everybody and giving everybody syphilis. That is bad. It's
basically
syphilis.
No, Xander is kind of just like an innocent bystander in a way because he's the first one who kind of comes down with a strange illness. Thankfully, Anya is there to take care of him.
Oh, I loved that too. When she came in and she was just like, I went to go watch you dig. Why were you not digging?
Why were you not digging? And then she's like, you look horrible. Like, I've given many men over the years like horrible illnesses and you look worse than all of them.
And he's like, no, I'm going to go work. And she's like, no, they could dig without you. I just loved once again how she said her lines like, why are you not digging? I came to watch you dig.
Yeah. I really enjoyed too. I love a character that is forcefully like nurturing in the way Anya is, where she just like shoves him back, takes his socks off, like immediately starts caring for him. And then
him. Like, she doesn't literally care about any person in the entire world except him, which is so, it's so cute, but and so funny. And also it's just like, Sandra's like, how did I get here?
Well, that's why I'm a little nervous, only a little nervous, because I'm still a big lasagna shipper, but I'm a little nervous because we talk a lot, Sarah, about like the balance in relationships. You know, you never want to be the one that, especially when you're young, you're like 18, whatever, you never want to be the one who's like more invested in the relationship or the person who like loves the other one more. And I'm a little nervous. I don't want Xander to take Anya for granted. I don't think it's happened yet, but it is something I'm keeping my eye on. And I did love, because he's like very out of it, right? Like, he's very ill. And he's like, you're a strange girlfriend. And she just goes, I'm a girlfriend? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, I must be delirious. And she's like, I like this illness. It was very sweet. Sarah, this is my sort of a thing. Like, you know me, like, I wasn't super into it when Anya's like, oh, we'll die together, it's romantic. But this sort of a thing where like the establishing of a relationship is because someone is like deliriously ill and slips up by saying something is very funny. And I really loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it too. I agree with you. I mean, like, I don't trust Xander in these situations at all. Like, he's going to mess up. Like, he's an idiot, but at least he's kind of like our stupid idiot. I'm so like pro Anya, and like, if, I don't know, if we did the rankings today, like, she would probably be in a one or a two spot. Like, she's just a phenomenal character, really, really enjoyable. I'm going to like savor these times while we still have her, because I just know she's not going to be here for the entire series. Like, she's like our Buffy's Abby Morgan. Like,
yes,
you and I will die for Anya. We will ride or die this bitch. Like, until
if the sea gook gets her, we will riot. Okay.
Oh my god. If the sea gook gets her or anything similar, I won't survive it.
I'll end too much. Yeah. I love her too much.
I love her too. And I really enjoy her. And, like, you know, Xander doesn't deserve her. She's just too good and pure in this world. That world, in the nether world. I don't know.
The Hellmouth and Sundale, all places.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's just really fun. She doesn't even care that he has syphilis.
No, she's just like, oh, syphilis. Because she's you know what? I thought it could be smallpox. Because it's like, it could be smallpox, it could be syphilis, but they're like trying to figure this out. Poor Xander is like really not doing well. And then he has, like, again, to make matters worse, he has people like Buffy and Willow being like, we don't want to slay this man. Like, we don't want to slay the man because his people have already experienced horrible atrocities. But unfortunately, this man is not stopping. Like, first he takes the knife out of the, like, museum-y boxy thing, like a glass container, kills the lady with it. Then he goes and he, like, hangs a priest. And so they're like, who is he going after? Is he going after, like, father figures? That's what they think. And so they're like, let's go warn the dean, because he's probably coming for him next. But it turns out, no, he's not going for father figures. He's targeting, like, leaders. Yeah.
Because in where he's from, like, he would go after the neighboring tribe's chief, essentially. And Buffy is essentially their leader, their chief.
She's the strongest one, the most powerful one. Yeah. And so it was funny, because at first when they were considering it being father figures, when they were theorizing that's what he was doing, I was like, oh, is this foreshadowing that Xander is going to impregnate Anya and they're going to have some sort of demon human baby?
Renesmee. Stop. Anya's May.
Oh my gosh. That would be horrifying, but also I'm here for it.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
So Buffy is, like, getting attacked, and then we have to back up because even more nonsense is happening this episode. We're going to take a quick little pit stop on Riley, because Riley is heading out of town. Him and his people are in their little camo outfits with camo paint on their faces, which, in my opinion, makes them stand out more than blend in, but okay.
Even if they're behind a bush, though.
Yes, even if they're behind a bush, just wear all black. Like, you'll look like a theater kid. It's fine.
Do you think camo's cute?
No.
Do you? I don't think so, but sometimes I see, like, I saw some biker shorts the other day, and it was black camo, not green camo. And I was like, is that cute? It might be cute. I might like it.
I don't think it's as bad. I think, like, the colorful camos are kind of cute, but I also don't really understand them as a concept, because the entire point of camo is to blend in.
Yeah.
No, I just don't find camo as a pattern to be especially cute.
Do you have unicorns on your shirt?
Yes, I do.
Do you find that to be a cute pattern?
This is from Critical Role, so yes, I do.
Oh, it's a jester shirt.
It is. Okay. It also has a unicorn horn on the hoodie.
Wow.
There we go. If you're watching
How much did you pay for that?
I don't remember. I bought it a few years ago.
$75.
Definitely not $75.
I bet you that shirt was.
I know I got it on clearance. I can tell you that much. I know there was a sale at the time that I bought it.
We do love jester.
I do love jester. All of these, Riley and his crew are trying to find Spike, because, as a reminder, Spike is still on the lam.
Was it like bad guy agent scene?
Oh, something Doctor. 17, wasn't he? Or 14? Hostile.
Hostile 17, 16.
I think so. So they're looking for him, but they are going to get Thanksgiving off. And so Riley just like pops up out of nowhere on the street. And I don't know if this was supposed to be like, well, he was in camo, you didn't see him, or if this is supposed to be suspicious, but just know that I always have my little suspicious antennas up.
I don't think he's suspicious.
I'm always suspicious. Is it weird that he's from Iowa? Because that just feels like a place that you say you're okay. from when you're like trying to seem like you're like, oh, I'm just a little Midwestern, you know, farm boy just going along. No, he's really from the past.
Okay. Name one thing you know about Iowa.
Corn.
That's all Midwestern states, really. I don't know anything about Iowa. I really don't. But then
is there an Iowa University?
Of course there is. Yeah.
Well, then there you go. That's the other thing I know about it. I'm not even sure which shape it is. Is it the weird shape? No, it's not. It's the more normal shape.
The thing is that I never think about Iowa ever. But
who does? That's what I'm saying. That's why it's a little suspicious, because it's like, who's going to question that?
Yeah, but then again, I never thought about Indiana ever. And now I live in Indiana. What do you know about Indiana?
Indianapolis.
I literally live there. Yeah,
the Indy 500.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that I have that going for me.
Got it. Okay, so I know more. You know more about Indiana.
Know more about Indiana than Iowa for sure.
Okay,
sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, but yeah, I'm a little suspicious of Riley. I'm just throwing it out there.
Obviously he's part of this organization that is obviously bad in some capacity.
Yeah.
But it's like, how much does he know? Like, does he just think that he is saving the world from vampirism?
I think so.
So he thinks that he's doing good. However, it's just like, I don't know. Like, do you think that he is, like, what makes him suspicious? What do you think he's doing that's sus?
So showing up out of nowhere for sure is a little sus, because she's like, whoa, where'd you come from?
Well, in his defense, I'm not Riley. I don't think so anyway. He is on patrol, so he's just doing his job.
Sure. I think being from Iowa is just like, likely story. I also am still suspicious of like him being a robot or from the past. Now, I will say, if he is a robot, if he turns out to actually be a robot, I don't think he knows he's a robot. I think he thinks he's human.
Do you think that most robots know that they're robots?
What a good question. I guess it depends on what they're programmed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're programmed for like social things, I think they probably think they're human.
Yeah.
Like, but if they're programmed to like unclog a toilet, I don't think you need to pretend you're human to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Bicentennial Man. Have you ever seen that movie?
That's the Robin Williams one, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, if I have, it's been a very long time.
He said
it's sad, right?
It is sad. I also think that movie is like 12 hours long.
Hold on. This is a very, very quick side tangent. Okay. So, because we've covered Mrs. Doubtfire. Mm-hmm. So Matthew Lawrence, who was in Mrs. Doubtfire with Robin Williams,
right?
I saw a TikTok of him and I can't remember what role he was referring to or like what he was talking about, but he was like, oh yeah, I was like thinking about Robin Williams while I was doing it. Like I was trying to like channel him. And I was that is so lovely, considering he worked with Robin Williams when he was a kid. Like, and he still remembers, like, you know what I mean? Like he still holds him in such a high esteem and high regard that like that's who he would think of. I thought it was like very sweet.
Everybody does. I mean, he was a brilliant person to work with.
I still think about Robin Williams a lot.
I do too. It's very.
I think about him and Steve Irwin a lot for no reason, really.
You're big on Crocodile Hunter?
I'm really not. And I think what it is because Steve Irwin was such an animal lover and like I do connect with him on that. Obviously, I'm not as super into reptiles, but like, you know, animals in general. And it makes me so sad because like his kids are like also in that field. And I'm like, oh my gosh, imagine like they would have still been working with their dad and everything. Like, and his son looks like, I think I follow his son on TikTok, which is probably why I think about Steve Irwin when he's about. But his son is like very much cut out of the exact same cloth and like looks a lot like him. Like, and it just, I don't know. It just makes me sad. Cause it's like, oh, he was like so good. Like he was one of those people that was so good at what he did and so passionate about it. No, he wasn't good at what he did.
I mean, is he good at what he did if he literally died on the job?
Well, yeah, because it was a stingray that literally stung him in the heart. Like, it's a crazy accident.
A stingray stung him in the heart.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I got stung by... No, that's a jellyfish. It was not a stingray. I was about to tell this story. Wow. I'm like, yes, I got stung by a stingray. And then I was mid-telling the story. I'm like, wait, that did not happen. No.
I've also been stung by a jellyfish.
Why are they such assholes? Like, I'm just living my life.
I don't know what their problems are.
Yeah. Like, don't have a problem with me. Goodness. Riley could be something. But I think that he is just excited to see Buffy. I honestly do. He has a crush. Just like Mandy Moore in that song, I have a crush on you. I want you to feel the way that I do. And that's what he feels about Buffy. And I think Buffy likes him too.
He definitely invited
him to Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Now, he's not going to hold the candle to Angel, which we're going to have to talk about because Angel is in town and he be creeping. He be creeping because of the vision that he saw in the last episode of Angel. And so he goes to Giles and he's like, listen, Giles, I saw a vision. Or sorry, I didn't see a vision. My friend Doyle saw a vision and Buffy's in trouble. And I don't want to get in the way. But like, stop it, Angel. You're creeping. Here's what it is. Either you can't get over your stalkerish tendencies and you're just reverting back to them like a creep. Or you're too much of a little chicken shit to interact with your ex-girlfriend. I'm going to take B, but still.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with B. I think that I really love how Giles is like, I know Buffy and you know Buffy. And she is, if she finds out or she knew, she would just be like, that is so unfair of you.
Yes, and it is.
It is. And it is that like Angel asks Giles to like hold the secret. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to be seen by Willow. Hi, Willow. You want to hang out, but also please keep the secret. I think that, and then he sees Anya, of course, and Xander. I don't know. I do think that he's a bit of a chicken shit. Like, it's like you can't have it both ways. Like, you can't come and try to be the savior and then not let your presence be known. But he
did. It's worse this way because what's the worst thing that could happen does happen where Angel finds out after the fact that you were there. Buffy finds out you were there and didn't say anything to her. And it's just like, it's so frustrating. And I think the only redeeming value to having Angel in this episode was number one, when Willow talks to him about the fact that he hired Cordelia and she says, that's going to be a special experience.
Willow is so judgy. What a judgy bitch she is.
I mean, but think about the Cordelia that Willow knows and like her working literally for Angel at like an investigative job. Like if Willow had found out, oh, she's working on like Saks and Fifth Avenue, like she'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. But like this job does not exactly make sense, especially not with Angel.
At least she has a job, Willow. What kind of job does Willow have? Nothing.
Well, she's in college.
She makes no money.
Okay. I mean, she's a witch.
She's a whore. That's what she is.
She's poor. And my other favorite running bit from this episode that included Angel was anytime he ran into literally anyone, they're like, oh my God, are you evil again?
Yeah. Or you are evil again. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm just here.
Because you know what it is? They know what we want. And we want Angelus back. Okay? Mm. Not sad sack broody Angel. Give us Angelus. Give the people what they want.
I mean, like, it was kind of fun. I like the crossover episodes. I think that it's interesting. So I didn't hate it. Like, I didn't hate Angel here. I thought that, I mean, like, I hated that he was creeping. But he definitely had some funny moments. And the Angel episode itself was interesting as well. And I don't know. It was fine. I mean, he did help. He saved the day. Buffy even wouldn't have known. And if it wasn't for Xander, like spilling the beans, which was an oopsie, but.
Well, no one told him not to say anything is the thing.
No, they did. They did. But he just was like running his mouth and he like forgot. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, like he was like, it felt like, you know, the good old days, like even
Angel was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I just
an accident.
I'm a very strong believer that like the more people you tell a secret, like you're double, tripling, quadrupling the chances that that secret gets spilled. So like it was about bound to come out no matter what. But another vampire who's in town is Spike. And
this is struggling. This is so good.
I died, Sarah, when they play the little sad oboe music when he's like running through the forest. Like, he's just so sad. Like, I love him. Like, it gave, Placer, just another piece of cheese. Like,
yeah,
when he's looking in the window at these other vampires who are taking turns, like, sucking blood, he's like so sad.
Yeah. And he has like this, like, little scarf or cloak over his head.
Yeah.
It's really funny. He's starving to death, essentially. He looks like absolute shit.
He's real bad. Yeah. He's in a bad way. And so he goes to Harmony because that's the vampire he knows. And she's pissed at him. She's like, she's resisting him. I love Harmony. I'm powerful and I'm beautiful and I don't need you to complete me. And she whips out a stake that's underneath the mattress. And he's like, you had that in our bed.
Not your bed anymore. Yeah.
No.
I think it was so funny that Harmony has been listening to some self-help audiobooks.
I love this for her. Yeah. I need to see a scene with Harmony and Anya together.
That would be interesting.
That would be iconic, right?
That would be interesting. They knew each other. They were hanging out at one point.
Yeah.
When they're, yeah. So.
Yeah, back in the high school days. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a miss. And then he tries to go to Thanksgiving. He says, I want to be invited to Thanksgiving. Please include me at a senior table. And
yeah, Buffy, he would love a ritual sacrifice. Mm-hmm.
Buffy is like, you are not invited in. He is begging. Eventually, he's like, look, I got neutered, essentially, which is what you said last week. Good job.
Yeah.
And he does get invited inside, except he's tied up and nobody's giving him any food. I felt very bad.
No, I kind of did too. Cause like, okay, well, on one hand, they're not killing him. So that's kind of them, I guess. But on the other hand, like, you're literally just going to watch this man starve. Like, do you not have any, like, can you not just go find some like animal blood or something to give this guy? Like, I'm not saying give him some of your own blood, but like, there has to be something you can do for this guy because he just looks so sad. And it gets even worse when they start getting attacked. So back to Hoos, the guy who's attacking them, he has like a bunch of he raise dead, and he has like these other spirits basically fighting for him as well. And they're all attacking. And poor Spike is strapped to a chair as arrows constantly are just impaling on him. Luckily, none of them hitting him in the heart. I was like, oh my God.
Really bad aim. I feel like it'd be so easy for Spike to get killed instantly. And all of this, and he's weakened. So
they're not even going after him is the thing, you know, like he's just like, again, he's just an innocent bystander. So
he is
like,
non-entity, really.
Yeah.
He's basically really back funny. In a wheelchair.
I really enjoyed his like color commentary, though, the entire time where he's like, don't worry about me. Like,
nobody is. I think that he needs a support system. And this is where Angel would have been a good buddy for him, because Angel could have shared his contact for Angel got his blood from, and he could have given him tips and tricks. He could have. But anyway, yeah, nobody's thinking about him. Poor Spike. He survives though.
Kind of. And so Anya, Willow, and Xander, meanwhile, were off to go warn the dean when they originally thought that he was going after father figures. They eventually turn back around. And I don't know why, but the music that played when Xander, Willow, and Anya were biking back to Thanksgiving cracked me up. Like, it was so ridiculous. They're all just like riding their little bicycles. And by the time they arrive, it's like, oh, the attack is already underway. And I think it was Anya and Willow, they have shovels.
And they're trying to like hit these like spirit guys with the shovels. And I could literally see the shovels like bending, like, cause they're made of like rubber.
They're flops. They are a flaccid shovel.
It was so funny. Like, I don't know why this scene was tickled me so much. I just thought it was hysterical. Of course, Angel comes in because he has to save the day. And he like snaps the guy's neck. Buffy's not paying attention because she's busy. She like cuts the guy with his own knife, which then makes him into a bear.
Who knows? I mean,
and then she stabs him.
It's none of my business how that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's none of our business. Luckily, everything is fine. They defeat them, and that's fair. they finally have Thanksgiving dinner. Xander brings up Angel, and everyone's pissed at Xander except for Spike, who has this smirk on his face, mm-hmm. which I very much appreciated.
Spike is here for the lols, honestly.
He loves the drama.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to fit right into the group. I mean, he's on the pipeline to be a Scooby. He is like a hop skipping away from being a good guy because I guess he's neutered. So he has all of his, I think like he's a failed baddie. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you're so bad at being a baddie that you have to become a goodie.
I thought he was a good baddie, but obviously Drew Lulu was better.
Was he good? Like, I don't
know. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean by good? Like entertaining baddie? Or do you mean like, was he successful at being a baddie?
I don't think that he was successful at being a baddie. Like,
no, not really. Cause Angelus was way more of a baddie than he was.
I think that he was a flop. And that is like partially why Delulu left him, because she's like, you're not as bad as I thought you were.
She needs to go find herself a fungus demon.
Yeah. Or a chaos demon or whichever demon. He's just, like he is kind of like, if he was in a baddie school and he got a report card, he would probably be a C-minus student.
Yeah. I mean, right now he's not doing great either because this implant is not allowing him to suck any blood or hurt anyone.
So he's probably dropping down to a D.
That's rough. That's
coming up with no plans. He's begging people for food.
Mm-hmm.
It's really embarrassing, actually.
It is. But I'm enjoying his presence on the season, at least. Like, I think he's very funny. And I love Sad Sack Spike. So I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Sad Sack Spike and, like, Harmony, who's in therapy, the greatest. Perfect.
Yeah. You know what, Spike like reminds me of when I put my blanket around my head and I act like a little sad Russian woman. That's what he looked like.
Okay. Great.
A little babushka queen.
A little babushka. All right. Should we talk about Angel? Because like you said, there was a lot of crossover this episode with season one, episode 8, I Will Remember You.
I will. No, you won't. So Angel's comeback from Sunnydale, both Doyle and Cordelia knew that he was going. They think that he's going to off himself because of Buffy, but in reality, he was trying to fix his desk.
With a huge stake. Like, who does that? People, like, get, like, little pieces of paper to adjust, like, do micro adjustments, weirdo.
Maybe the desk was really uneven.
I guess so.
So, they basically say that they're talking about, like, if it was messed up or not, that Buffy didn't know. And Buffy shows up. She says, it was messed up. You are a fucker. So then there was a lot of like breaking the wall with Cordelia and Doyle. Like, oh, this is what they do. Like, yes. So annoying. They're going to be weepy for hours. And in all of this, some sort of dude with a jewel in his head is like,
it's another demon.
It's like, hey, I'm gonna kill you. And then he accidentally gets his gook onto Angel.
Neon green gook. Neon green gook is like humanizing gook. It makes you human.
Yeah. And he all of a sudden, Angel is cured and he has a soul. He has a pulse and
he has a heartbeat.
Yeah, he is a human again. And this means that he's like, I'm ready to go to Pound Town with Buffy.
Yeah, baby. I'm ready to eat chocolate and peanut butter and food. Yeah,
he's very hungry. He wants his snack.
The vagina.
for the vagina,
specifically Buffy's.
Yes, but also like chocolate chip peanut butter ice cream. Also,
I mean, good taste. Yeah, this cracked me up, Sarah, because I was like, wow. The show Angel is basically like, we need to find a way to make Angel human temporarily so that him and Buffy can fuck again. Because we really wrote ourselves into a corner where we can't have them fuck without the risk of him losing his soul. So we'll make him human. They can pound, pound, pound it out. I loved hearing Cordelia and Doyle's like commentary on it. And like, it's like Cordelia's like, ugh, that's what they're going to be doing all day. So fucking
hopefully all day, all night. If all of us are lucky. So, so they have like a magical, amazing 48 hours, except that, I don't know. This is where it kind of got crazy because I forget why, but Angel is like, I need to meet. Oh, did Doyle have another vision? Maybe that's
what it was. Doyle has a vision. And basically what happened is this demon was not only able to like heal Angel, but heal itself. And so they need to defeat this demon. The problem is Angel doesn't have powers anymore because he's not a vampire. So he's like, I can't get Buffy killed because of this. So in his infinite fucking wisdom, he goes to the oracles, they're called, and basically says,
"Who are the powers that be?"
It's same people.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that we did not know about, right? I did not know.
We've never heard of these people.
Yeah, I didn't know that there were some like floaty people with silver paint over somewhere,
yeah,
making all the rules. Now, this is good because somebody at least somewhere has rules. And apparently the demons have rules, or at least like there's somebody that controls all this stuff. So they were like, you are fucked, motherfucker. Go away. Also, you didn't bring us a gift. And then Angel comes back and is like, hey, I have a new idea. You take my soul and give me my old curse back to save Buffy. And they're like, we won't do that. But then the girl oracle is like, I will do that, but you have to forget about your most magical 48 hours of fucking that you've ever had. And he's like,
so rude, honestly.
And just like, no, that was amazing. I will never have a moment like that again. And she's like, that's right, that's why it's punishment, dummy. So then he agrees. But also the catch is, everybody will forget this ever happened. Buffy will forget, Cordelia and Doyle will forget, everybody will forget except Angel, who has to sit in this knowledge that he had the most amazing sexual encounter of all time
and remember the taste of chocolate and peanut butter but never be able to have it again.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say something totally different with the taste.
The taste of a Buffy's vagina all up in his mouth.
We could have taken a step back. We could have. We didn't have to go there, but yes. Yes, that's true. That's true. So I, and he's like, I am damned for the rest of my life. Like, what else could we give Angel to make him even more miserable and sad?
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. He's going to be the worst now because, and the worst part about this whole thing, Sarah, is so he's telling Buffy and Buffy's like, what? Like, she's pissed because yet again, he made this decision without even consulting her. Like, not great. He didn't even consult her. And then when she's like, well, how much time do we have?
Oh, very emotional. I almost got teary. How much time do we have? And it's like, we have no time.
Wait, a single minute. You're a fucking asshole. A minute? Yeah.
We have seconds. And then we're never going to see each other again, pretty much.
Because she's like, I won't forget. I will say, Sarah Michelle Gellar, great cry face.
Yeah, acting like a queen.
10 out of 10.
I don't think I've seen Sarah Michelle Gellar act that hard.
No, I felt like this was more emotional than the breakup situation.
Yes, I mean, of course, especially because Angel just went off to the mists. And never
let me just tell you, Sarah, I didn't quite understand the entire concept of what was going on. And so in my head, I was mostly pissed off because I'm like, if
if Buffy remembers this and then goes back to fucking Sunnydale and I have to hear about Angel for 5 episodes after I've already been hearing about Parker for 5 episodes, like, I'm going to be pissed. But luckily for all of us, she forgets. Yeah.
How's your reading comprehension going? Because how did you not catch that, like, this whole thing was a deal and she was going to forget everything?
I'll be honest, because I was paying, like, 80% attention. So there was, I did miss, like, I was watching him make the deal, but I missed, I understood that he would not be, that he would be a vampire again. Yes. I didn't understand. I thought the turning back of time just meant that they would go back, not that they would forget everything that happened.
Okay, got it. Yeah. I think that it's even more of a fuck you from the two tin men that they were like, you will remember, but she will not.
It's because they don't have hearts. Isn't that what the Tin Man is lacking in the Wizard of Oz? Yes. We figured it out.
Yes. Yeah.
Figured it out. It's really fucked, isn't it? Like, you won't remember. So she gets to forget. She has to forget, like, the best sex of her life. Because, Sarah, let's be honest.
I think
the first, it has to be. Because the first time she has sex is literally the first time she has sex ever. And then and it kind of gets ruined because she fucks the soul out of him. Mm-hmm. But then and then like and the first time is never that good with someone new, you know? Yeah, yeah. So the second time they're like bathing. Second time with Angel.
Parker, and then this was definitely Buffy's most successful sexual encounter.
Yes.
However, she's never going to remember it. And it really didn't exist. It did not.
It's
happen.
Really sad.
It's very sad.
Especially when you think about, as a friend of the podcast, Tom Palmer, likes to point out, in Buffy's mind, she went all the way to LA from Sunnydale to yell at Angel for like 5 minutes and then leave.
Yes.
That's fucked.
Well, no, she went to go visit her dad.
Went to go visit her dad, in quotes. Absolutely not.
Visit her dad.
She came there specifically to yell at Angel and be like, you fucking stalker creep. What were you doing?
Well, maybe her dad gave her shopping money and then she got to go shopping a little bit.
I just get very annoyed because Angel is constantly saying, oh, I'm doing this for Buffy. I'm doing this for Buffy. It's like, bitch, no one asked you. Like, it's so frustrating that he does not consult her on, like, literally anything.
Hold up. Okay. The thing was that either she died or he gets, like, or if he has to live with this and becomes a vampire. Like, the other option, like, and what was Buffy going to do? But, like, actually, you're right. Like, kill me so that you
can. No, but I think the way Buffy would frame it is, like, I want to fight for myself. And also, like, because his word that Doyle had some vision. And on top of that, like, he is dooming himself to be a vampire for eternity. Like, that's a big deal when they had the opportunity to finally be together. I think at the very least, he should have a conversation with her. He is always making these decisions without her. And it's really frustrating.
I'm pretty sure that it was pretty definitive that Buffy was going to die.
According to Doyle's vision, but Buffy didn't know any of this.
Mm-hmm. I know. I guess, like, I think you're right. Like, it would be great if we can clue Buffy in a bit, but I think the outcome would be just the same.
Sure, but I think the outcome could be the same, but, like, the way you go about it can be very different and, like, actually include the person that you say you love so much in some of the decision making.
She's never going to remember her anyway.
Well, no, now they're definitely broken up and she's going to, you know, forgets the best sex she ever had.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that episode. Like, it really was a fun 1-2 punch. You know, the two episodes were pretty fun back to back.
Yeah.
I just, like, oh, Angel just is so broody and annoying sometimes. I just can't. Like, he's so, I did love the line of, like, he kills the demon by hitting it in, like, the third eye and the forehead, like, immediately. And she's like, how did you know to do that?
Like, I've been doing some reading, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brushing up on some reading.
Yeah.
So those were our episodes. Do we want to get into some feedback?
Sure.
We got an email from Joy. She says, hey guys, long time no email. Before I get into pings and I will remember you, I have to say that I am a huge Woz fan. And while I also love where Willow's story goes and her love life, I will always love her and Oz together. And I wish we had more of them. Also, I love every time y'all mention Greek, Cappy for life.
Cappy. Yeah, Capitao brothers. Love Greek. Jessica, you never finished Greek because you hated me.
Okay, I think half of that sentence was true. I did never finish Greek. Maybe one day. I'll throw it back on. It's a great background show. Mm-hmm. Joy continues, that show doesn't age super well, but it's a guilty pleasure, and I've seen it like 5 times.
Yeah, so, big same.
Pang's pretty problematic with the representation of indigenous people, but it is such a hilarious episode that I just focus on the good and ignore the bad. One other thing I did want to mention was I'm fairly certain, and I haven't looked it up because, again, I'm terrified of spoilers. I'm fairly certain the person that was playing the indigenous person that was like the baddie this episode was a white person, which maybe they're not. But if they are, that sucks and is also problematic. Joy continues, my husband and I quote the bear scene all the time. Undo it, undo it. The scene with Giles and Angel is done so well, and I kind of love that when both Willow and Xander see Angel, they automatically assume he's evil again. Spike being pathetic because of his chip cracks me up. He's so funny in his chip era. That's so great. Him being stuck in the chair with several arrows stuck in him is such brilliant comedy, as was Harmony self-advocating for herself. And of course, Xander had to spill the beans, but him having mystical syphilis was pretty fun. I don't know what it is about Riley, but I've never been a fan. I did love y'all calling him JT the TA before you could remember his name, though.
Yeah, I mean, JT the TA is just like a guy.
It rolls off the tongue. And we segue into Cordy's corner. The whiplash of Pangs with I Will Remember You is something to behold. Pangs is so fun, and I Will Remember You is so heartbreaking. It starts out fun with Cordelia being so nonchalant with Hurricane Buffy and getting out of Dodge, and poor Doyle is just along for the ride. But then Angel and Buffy get their deepest desire. Angel is human, and they have a perfect day together, able to be intimate and very much in love, but it's too good to be true. Angel makes the ultimate sacrifice, being the only one with the knowledge of what he could have had, and he gives it up for the bigger picture. Say what you will about Broody Angel, but his happiness at being human was so good, and you just know it can't last. I didn't talk enough about how much I did enjoy Human Angel. I found him to be very funny, like especially his love of food. I thought that was really funny, like him saying to Buffy, like, why didn't you tell me about peanut butter and chocolate? I really did love that.
It's revolutionary, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Buffy and Angel's final scene before time rewinds never fails to make me sob. They bring in their theme from Buffy, and when I hear those notes, I'm transported to my angsty teen years. If you listen closely, David says Sarah's name as she's crying because it was hard for her. Something to know going forward is that you should never get too comfortable in these shows. Anytime a character is happy, be afraid. Be very afraid.
Yeah.
When I had my mom watch these episodes, I made her spend the night and binge 6 of them all at once. I'm guessing y'all didn't do that. So until next time, bye.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I'm going to rewatch that scene. It really was a good scene. It really, really was. Like, it tugged at my heartstrings a lot.
Yeah. I will say it's the most I've cared about Bangel, like, at all throughout the entire run of Buffy, too.
Especially like, the line, like, how much time do we have? And, like, knowing it was, like, literally seconds, like, that was so sad.
And I think part of it, too, and this is probably thinking way deeper about it than, like, the show was necessarily intending, but part of it was like also the fact that that Buffy specifically was going to lose those memories, because memories are a really important thing, like especially something as strong as that sort of a memory. It like immediately brings me to like how scary it is that there's the potential of like an Alzheimer's like disease where you just start forgetting things, mm-hmm. because it's just you lose your sense of self in a way. Mm-hmm. And so like taking someone's memory, especially a cherished memory, is just so cruel. And it really broke my heart for Buffy. Again, as much as Bangel is like not my favorite ship, not even close, I definitely felt for Buffy because this is the most I've enjoyed Bangel.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to like write a angry note to those 10 men, or like what do you want to do?
I think we need to tell them how heartless they are because of this. This is so cruel.
Yeah.
So cruel. They did like a Angel's watch, and then he gave him like a vase or something the second time. I don't know what that thing was.
Yeah. I mean, I love a decorative vase, so that seems like a good gift to me.
I do like the idea that he has to bribe them. I thought that was pretty fun.
Oh, I love bribes. I love incentives.
There you go.
I love ritual sacrifices.
Who doesn't?
I certainly do.
We also got an email from Michael in San Francisco who says, hi, Jess and Sarah. Glad you're enjoying season 4 so far. It's not my favorite as a whole, but it has some of the best one-off episodes in the series. Love it when you have Hannah on because I'm also in the minority who finds season 6 excellent. Definitely hope to hear plenty more from her when you get there. Don't you worry, Michael. She will return. Actually, the end of this season, she'll return. Anyway, appreciate the call-outs of my Angel watch list, but I do want to clarify. This is just a list of episodes with ties to Buffy. Not necessarily my favorites, although there's a ton of overlap.
We're like, Michael, thank you for your favorite episodes of Angel. Thank you for your most recommended episodes of Angel ever. We appreciate your list. And he's like, wait a minute. No, don't put that on me.
Yeah. He's like, please, no. Actually, it's just the overlap ones.
We're like, thank you, Michael, for your most favorite and treasured episodes of TV that you've ever seen.
He does say there's a ton of overlap between his favorites and the crossovers because they tend to have better writers and like bigger budgets.
Yeah.
But there are some great episodes missing from that list, such as Room with a View, which I'm glad you loved because we did watch that one.
Oh, we loved that episode. That was so good.
It was a good one. And episodes 16 and 17, which I consider classics as well. And there are some I could live without, like The Bachelor Party.
Oh, that was a really stupid one.
Yeah, but technically have a Buffy link. I hope that makes more sense. I really enjoy how you've chosen to handle Angel so far, and also that you've decided to just name the segment after Cordelia, because honestly, why the fuck not? Mm-hmm. Cheers, Michael.
This our rules.
I mean, yeah, like I think we were most excited to see Cordy. Like I still am. Like I know people have said like the show takes a little bit of time and I'm trying to be patient with season one. You know, like they've had some really stellar episodes. I'm really liking Doyle. I obviously love Cordelia. I thought the crossover episode was great because it essentially just, in my opinion, kind of felt like a two-part episode, really, like with slightly different characters, you know?
Yes. I feel that way as well. This episode and the one with the ring, I felt worked particularly well as two-parters.
Yeah. So I'm really enjoying it, and I'm enjoying, I would like some more feedback from people to if they are enjoying how we're doing this, where we have Cordy's Corner. I think it's honestly the simplest way and the only way to guarantee that we keep up with it. There's just no room in our schedules for a third podcast a week. So like just being able to touch on it while we talk about Buffy and not feel like I have to be taking diligent notes all through Angel, you know, is kind of nice. So I would love to hear some feedback on that if anybody has any.
Yeah, and I am enjoying the world building. Like I'm very interested in this. It reminds me a lot of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and I think that was called The Council. Do you remember when Sabrina went off?
Yes.
Yeah, it reminds me of that, and I always love that in Sabrina when they did that. When she had to like go to, I don't know, which jail.
It reminds, like, are we ever going to see the oracles again? Because like I'd love to see the Tin Men again. Like I think I want to hear more from them.
I would think so. Like it seems, I mean, maybe not, but I feel like that world building is really interesting to me. It's almost like we really, really want to see what the Buffy, the Watchers Council is like. Well,
right, because they've been out of the picture for a while now.
We haven't, because I think Buffy got fired. I don't know.
No, she quit. Giles got fired.
Right. Yeah. And we haven't seen that. Like, we never, like, got to see that, which I assume that we will eventually. Mm. Also, does that mean that there's, like, another Slayer on the docket? Like, another Slayer?
It could be, yeah.
So that's a whole other thing, but
yeah, because right now they're basically just letting Buffy go rogue and like do whatever she wants. Like they're not like you know, stopping her by any means. So
yeah,
I don't know. I wonder if the special agency, like with Riley and all of them, has any ties to the council.
They're like, you know what, it's not such a good idea to hire 16-year-old teenage girls. Let's go bigger.
We'll get a professor. We'll get someone to pose as a professor. Yeah. Then instead of just killing the vampires, we'll just do little experiments on them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
So,
Well, that's those episodes. Would you like to hear what season 4, episode 9 of Buffy is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is, I'm a little scared about this one.
What's that?
The title is Something Blue.
Something Blue. Wedding?
Wedding? That's what I'm saying. Who's getting married?
Who's getting
married? Anya and Xander.
Sure.
That'd be crazy.
Sure.
What happened?
Something Blue.
Mm-hmm. And the episode title for Angel, season 1, episode 9, is Hero. Which is kind of a boring title. So,
and it's a boring title. Mm-hmm. Boring title for a boring episode, I'm sure.
Oh, gosh.
Is it on Michael's favorite episodes ever list?
Let me look at Michael's, you know, noted favorite episodes ever list and see if it is. It is.
It was one of his favorite episodes of all time. Hero.
If Michael likes it, we're in. And of course, we're also not going to be alone. We're going to be joined.
Enrique Iglesias joining us.
You'd like that, wouldn't you, Sarah?
Wouldn't you?
No, it is the one, the only Tom Palmer, friend of the podcast. Will be joining us for Something Blue. Now, the thing is we can't always count, as Tom likes to say, we can't always count on him to pick good episodes. So we don't really know if this is going to be a good episode.
To be perfectly, just as a reminder, I think that he is now doing like a random dice roll to choose what episode that he comes on.
He's trying to throw. This is his game. This is how he gets his jollies. Just tormenting us. I mean, I don't think about it that deeply, but I do. Yeah. Anytime I see a guest next to an episode, I'm like, that's probably a good episode.
Yeah, I think it helps me that I don't know when we're having guests. I was like 20 minutes away from recording this podcast, and I was like, I don't know if we're having anybody today. If they show up, they show up.
No, not today. I will say, in 2 episodes, we get to do our character ranking. So Anya's looking great for that top.
Anya is going on the top of the list.
Queen Anya. Okay. Well, in the meantime, shit90spod.com, shit90spod@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with us.
I was Whirlwind Investigations.
I have to start the new season of Veronica Mars. So they're on season 3 of Veronica Mars. Yeah. Were you on the premiere?
I was on the second episode. It's a college season, Jessica.
I'm very excited. I haven't started Veronica Mars yet, but I like to watch with the podcast.
It's college vibes. So you should,
we love a lot of college vibes in my life right now between Buffy, Felicity, and all this other stuff.
Jeez, yeah. Please. I went on the episode. Well, you'll watch it maybe.
I'll definitely catch up. I listen to Whirlwind Investigations. So, because I've never Veronica Mars'd. So this is my first. Yeah. First time. So go check that out, of course. Very soon, actually, I'm going to be on the Everwood podcast over on Whirlwind.
Oh,
podcast, so very excited about
you're
that.
You're obsessed with Adam.
Yes, me. I am the one who is obsessed with Adam.
Disgusting.
Just so gross. All right. Well, that's all we have today. So we'll be back next week with season 4, episode 9. Until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson. Just ask. Shit90 shows taught
me. Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.